welcome to the Empathy Mining Podcast. It's been a few days since the last podcast, maybe a couple of weeks, actually. But today I'm going to jump back in, and our topic is going to touch on an article I wrote back in December of this year after I watched the documentary about Bobby Knight called The Last Days of Knight. And I wrote this article called The Last Days of Trump because as I was watching the documentary about Bob Knight, who I was, like most Hoosiers, born and bred basketball lovers, I was a big fan of Bob Knight back in the 70s and 80s, until I finally grew tired of his act. But I was struck as I watched that documentary about the similarities that there are between Bob Knight and Donald Trump in the way that they deal with things, and in their supporters they have still to this day. They don't have as many supporters as they once did, but the ones they have are loyal, I think, for the same reasons. There's a lot of similarities there as well. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. And we'll get to it as soon as we get back from this brief commercial break. Thanks. Okay, so we were talking about the topic of today's podcast before the break there, and mentioned that I saw a lot of similarities between Bob Knight and Donald Trump, and I especially saw and see a lot of similarities between Bob Knight's supporters back in the day when he was embroiled in a lot of controversy and those that are still Knight aficionados and disciples today. There are still a lot of them, especially here where I live in Indiana, despite what we now know about the darker aspects of his coaching career here. And I'm also surrounded by an awful lot of Trump supporters where I live here in this red state of Indiana. So I was watching this documentary about Bob Knight and his final days at IU, my beloved alma mater, IU, my lifelong school of that I support in their athletics and all of that. And I decided I needed to get my thoughts out as I was watching that and wrote this piece on my blog at Pathos. So basically this is the gist of what I came to realize as I was watching this. See, I'm Indiana born and bred. I'm a Hoosier through and through. I grew up in the 1970s and 80s when the Indiana Hoosiers basketball program was a juggernaut. At the helm of that program was one of the most legendary and ultimately notorious coaches in the history of the sport, and Bob Knight. For most of my childhood through my early adulthood, Bob Knight was without question the most powerful single person in Indiana. More people recognized him than the governor or anybody else in the state. And probably he had more clout than the governor. Basically, he got what he wanted, whether it be through just asking for it or demanding it using his clout. He earned his nickname, the General, through his iron-willed insistence on perfection. And in fact, his 1976 basketball team actually achieved that goal, the last college basketball team to finish a season undefeated. And they almost did it 2 years in a row. 1975 season, they went undefeated until their star player, Scott May, was hurt. And that kind of derailed them in the tournament. But the next year, they won them all the way to the championship. Knight was always controversial in his methods, driving his teams with ferocious intensity and intimidation. Throughout his career, there were those outside Indiana who questioned the general's methods, but for most of us Hoosiers, Bob Knight could do no wrong. He gave us an identity that we could wear with pride. In the decade between the mid-70s through the mid-80s, Bob Knight led Indiana to 3 national championships. In this Bible Belt state where I grew up, Bob Knight was just about a half step below God Almighty in the estimation of millions of Hoosier basketball fans. Then, slowly but surely, society and the game of basketball began to change. It became less fashionable for coaches to push their players to excel by using the intimidation tactics of a military leader, but the general refused to change with the times. So throughout the 1990s, Bob Knight still managed to put together winning basketball teams, but the consistent run of national championships dried up. By the time the national tournament rolled around, Knight's teams often seemed to be worn down and began to make early exits from March Madness. And some fans began to question whether Knight's intense approach to coaching basketball was too much for modern players to take. Then, disturbing details of alleged abuse slowly started to emerge. The general's image began to tarnish in the early 90s, and by the end of that decade, his reign over a basketball-crazed state was over, for the most part at least. ESPN, a few months ago, aired this documentary in their 30 for 30 series about Bob Knight's fall from his throne as king of Indiana basketball, and it was called The Last Days of Knight. I recorded the show on my DVR and waited for a few days before I watched it. See, as a lifelong Hoosier fan and a graduate of Indiana University, I had to see it, but I knew it would be an excellent documentary because all of these 30 for 30s on ESPN are just really good and well done. But I wasn't looking forward to it because I also knew it would be an uncomfortable experience to watch. And I was right on both counts. It was excellent and it was uncomfortable. There weren't many details of the story that they told that ultimately ended Bob Knight's career at IU that I didn't already know. I lived through all of it. I knew well the story of Knight and Neil Reed. Now, Reed was a guard, a star guard at IU, who claimed Knight choked him in a practice. And Reed left the program and transferred to a different school. In fact, lots of players began leaving IU's basketball program during the 1990s. Most left without much fanfare, but Reed's departure left a gigantic meteor crater in my state. When Reed's accusation first came out, many of the university people at the university, along with thousands of fans around the state, began vilifying Neil Reed as a soft kid who couldn't hack Knight's toughness, claiming he made up the story because he had an axe to grind, things like that. I think we've seen this happen over and over again. This is the very same kind of thing with people who have accused Donald Trump of misdoings, of sexual harassment, or even downright rape. Look at the way his supporters rally to him and vilify the victims. So, other players from Indiana began to emerge, and some of them began verifying Reed's claim. So he had not just his story, but others to back him up. Then a reporter from CNN began to investigate the whole thing. And at some point in his investigation, someone sent that reporter a tape, an old VHS tape. It was a practice tape. All of these major colleges, you know, basketball programs, they tape all of their practices. And with this tape, without a doubt, proved that Knight had indeed angrily and aggressively grabbed Neil Reed by the neck in practice. Whether or not he actually squeezed and choked, I think is irrelevant. It was plain as day that he had aggressively put his hands around Neil Reed's throat. There was no more denying it. And that was the beginning of the end for the general in Indiana. So you'd think that would have been enough to end his support also among Indiana's fan base. You'd think that seeing that would lend credence to all the other rumors and stories that about such kinds of abuse. And people would finally say, enough is enough. Success isn't worth mistreating your players. You'd think that, but you'd be wrong. It was, in fact, the end of his support from a majority of IU fans, but there was a significant minority of Hoosier fans who doubled down, even after all the details of the disturbing history of abuse became very clear. This was the part of the story told in the last days of night that I was not as familiar with, or perhaps I had blocked it from my memory. After Knight was fired, there were riots on IU's campus. The university president at that time, Miles Brand, the man whose signature is on my diploma, he had effigies of himself burned in his front yard. University property was vandalized and destroyed. Death threats were made against President Brand and his family. An IU professor named Murray Sperber, who had been an opponent of Knight's and spoke out against him during the investigation, also had death threats made against him and his family, and he was forced to take an unpaid leave of absence and temporarily relocate his family to Canada. While most Hoosier fans, like myself, distance ourselves from our former coach, licking our wounds in shame, wondering how we could have been so taken in by this tyrant, there was a small but significant portion of Hoosier Nation that was enraged by the firing of their coach and emboldened to act despicably, to let the world know just how what they thought about it. Emboldened to act despicably. Just let that sit there a minute. See if you can kind of put that into modern context. Most of us Hoosier fans have long since gotten over the Knight era. We support the program now for what it is, hoping to see it return to the prominence it once enjoyed. We're still waiting, but it's getting there. We're still proud of those championship banners that hang in Assembly Hall and the players who earned them. But we're not proud of the dark legacy of the coach who reigned when they were being hung. But if you spend any time at all in the Hoosier Nation's various online community forums, you'll quickly learn that there is still a small group of diehard, hardcore Knight supporters among us. Just the other day in a thread about Neil Reed, I read the following comment from one of those Knight disciples. "I wish Knight had finished the job," implying, I suppose, that Knight should have choked Reed to death. I couldn't believe it, especially in the light of the rest of the story of Neil Reed, who went on to become a beloved high school coach in California, positively impacting the lives of many kids in a non-tyrant way that Bob Knight could never understand. Tragically, Neil Reed died of a massive heart attack at the age of 36, making that rabid Knight supporter's callous comment even more disgusting. I wish it weren't true, but I have to admit to you outsiders that there are still, after all these years, a small but vocal chunk of IU's fan base that is all in for Bobby Knight. It's the most shameful part of being an IU fan, without a doubt, without question. So as I watched this documentary, The Last Days of Knight, it was clear as the nose on my face that these people who still support Knight are just like the small but vocal group of Americans who are still all in for Donald Trump. In fact, I'd wager that most of all of Knight's supporters here in Indiana are also supporters of Donald Trump. Sometimes the prospect of winning blinds us to the methods used to extract victories. When those methods are eventually brought to light, most reasonable people become very uncomfortable with them. Most of us got off the Bob Knight train when we could no longer turn a blind eye to his antics. For others, however, that switch was never flipped. They saw the accusations as an attack on themselves and their identity. They were so drunk with the prospect of winning that they could not separate themselves long enough to take in all the difficult facts. They became attached to the denials of their leader and brought in and they bought in at all costs. They became martyrs for scandal. Similarly, many former Trump supporters, like I hope is a growing number of former Trump supporters, have seen the light. They realized that they were taken in by an unscrupulous con man and have distanced themselves from him. Yet there is a significant group that holds fast to that sinking ship. They are prepared to defend the honor of their general to the end. Even though Trump has a multitude of Neil Reeds in his past, his remaining supporters choose to deflect it all and vilify anyone and everyone involved in the effort to topple their champion. It came as no surprise to me that when Donald Trump held a rally in Indianapolis in early November, not more than 5 miles from my home, he chose none other than Bob Knight to join him on stage to help whip his supporters into a frenzy. They are two birds of a feather, bullies with a pulpit, tyrants who believe that the end will justify any means, and their supporters are all one and the same in my state. It makes me sad and fills me with shame to think that when Trump's last days as leader come to pass, those same followers will again take to the streets and cause all sorts of mayhem. There will be effigies burned, property destroyed, death threats issued, and there will be blood. I wish it weren't true, but there's a small but vocal and dangerous chunk of America that is still all in for Trump. They are martyrs for scandal. It's the most shameful part of being an American, without doubt, without question. Thanks for listening. I'll try not to take as long to post up a new episode this time as I did last. Into the empathy mind, 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 into the